Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
So it's summer, and the Red Sox are in first place, a half game ahead of the New York Yankees. And with one of the highest payrolls in baseball, and names like Gonzalez, Euclid, Pedroia, Beckett, and Ortiz on the roster, Sox fans have lots of reasons to believe that their team could be on its way back to the World Series again. But of course, Anthony, such optimism is a relatively recent phenomenon in this part of the world.
Indeed it is. You're absolutely right. And that's what makes the passing of Dick Williams this week worth noting.
Dick Williams, of course, was the manager of the 1967 Red Sox. And that great season of the so-called impossible dream, which you remember.
Firsthand, indeed I do. It was when I was infected, Meghna, by the Red Sox bug. When I was a kid growing up in Cambridge, the Red Sox were perennial losers. The team hadn't won a pennant since 1946. Think about it, the year after World War II ended. They'd gone from 1959 to 1966 without a winning season. And in 1966, they finished dead last in the American League. But the next year, in 67, when I was a 10-year-old little leaguer and a diehard Sox fan, a tough young guy with a crew cut named Dick Williams took over as manager.
The only thing I can tell you right now, I'll guarantee you we'll have a hustling ball club. And they won't quit. They didn't quit on me in Toronto. I don't intend to have anybody quit on me here.
Williams promised the Sox would win more than they'd lose, which back then seemed impossible. For the first game of the season, less than 9,000 people were in the stands at Fenway. But the Sox became contenders and moved from the worst to first in the American League. And in the last game of the season, they played a decisive game against the Minnesota Twins, which I remember watching on a grainy black and white TV.
Little soft pop-up. Petrocelli will take it. He does. The ball game is over. The Red Sox win it. And what a mob on this field. They're coming out of the stands from all over. They're just mobbing Jim Lundborg. And what a day this is.
And that was the first time I saw fans swarm the field. And it was thrilling. When the Sox won that game and the pennant, it spawned a new generation of fans. And even though they went on to lose the World Series to the Cardinals in seven games, the 1967 Red Sox became known as the Impossible Dream Team. And their manager, Dick Williams, took his place in the team's Hall of Fame and the Baseball Hall of Fame. A little earlier today, we talked to Rico Petrocelli, who played shortstop for the 1967 Red Sox. What was it like to play for Dick Williams? Tell me what kind of manager he was.
Dick was tough. He was a very tough manager. In order to change things around, I think he believed that, you know, he had to be rough with this team. We were young, we needed discipline, and we had to improve on our fundamentals. So when we made a mistake, he wouldn't be afraid to chew us out.
I mean, I remember a couple of things that stand out. One thing he did was he stripped Carl Yastrzemski, who, of course, was a young star at that point, of the captaincy of the team.
Yeah.
Why did he do that? I mean, what was the message he was trying to send there?
Well, he felt that that it was going to put too much pressure on Carl. So he wanted to take that away and said, look, don't worry about your responsibilities as a captain, you know, to motivate the players. Don't worry about that. Just go out there and play ball. Mm-hmm. And Carl accepted that, and he had just a super year in 1967. So, you know, it wasn't anything that he was punishing Carl for, you know.
But it seemed like he wanted to send the signal that he was the guy in charge, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing Dick always, you know, he wanted you to know that he was the boss. He made the decisions, and, you know, you got to go along with those decisions. I tell you, it was very tough to change his mind. You can go and talk with him about a certain situation, and in order to change his mind, boy, you know, he didn't do it right away if he ever did it.
Well, Rico, what was he
do things his way?
Sure, Rico, what was he dealing with when he got there? In other words, before 1967, the Red Sox, you guys hadn't had a winning team since 1946 or something like that. I mean, it had gone way, way back. What was he dealing with? What was the culture that he had to change?
Losing team. I mean, there was no interest. Any fans that came to the ballpark, most of those fans were on us. And most people didn't even care, you know, had no interest. So he had all that to contend with. And you know, he made a bold statement when he said that, you know, we would win more than we would lose. People were laughing at that. The reporters were saying, you got to be kidding. This guy is, what's he talking about?
And did you believe him?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We definitely believed in spring training. We were all happy to do whatever he wanted because, you know, the guys that were there previously, like Yaz and myself, I was tired of losing. And he brought a great attitude.
Well, he brought a great attitude. Are there managers like him left, or was he sort of the last of that kind of manager? I mean, because now there's an awful lot of talk about players' managers and you know, managers who who really sort of buddy up to the players. He didn't seem to be a manager like that at all.
No, I don't think he could manage nowadays. Him and guys like him, Billy Martin and Jim Leland is the closest, but Jim, too, I think he realizes that he's not going to be able to get on these guys. If they get angry, start talking to the teammates, the next thing you know, the manager's gone because, let's face it, these guys have signed multi-year contracts, and there's not enough talent around. So the manager, he's, you know, you can go get somebody else. But, yeah, Dick couldn't. He'd have a rough time in this era.
Last question, Rico. Do you have a favorite memory, maybe a memory on the field or in the dugout or in the clubhouse of Dick Williams?
Yeah, it was never a dull moment with Dick. I mean, one time in Anaheim, Jim Lomborg was the ace of the staff, and it was a close ball game, a tie, 1-1. Bottom of the inning, the Angels get a runner on, and he gets to second base. And the next hitter, I think it was Rick Reichert. So Dick Williams didn't even come out to the mound. I mean, it was Lomborg was going to finish that game. And so Jim throws him a sinker ball. He hits a pretty decent ground ball up the middle. Goes past Lomborg. I dive for the ball at shortstop. And the ball goes through. They score the run, win the ball game. Of course, they're all jumping on each other. And we're walking into the dugout towards, you know, to the clubhouse. And there's Dick Williams on the top step, looking out with his hands folded and his chest, you know, looking at Lomborg. What a look. I mean, if looks could kill, Lomborg would have been, you know, would have been dead. So I get to the dugout, and I said, nice going, Jim. Great game. And Williams goes, great game, my rear end. He should have had that ball up the middle, caught the ball. I said, you got to be kidding. But that was Dick, you know. Dick was the guy, he says, yeah, great effort, but the results, you know, win. We got to win ball games. That's the bottom line. So he taught us a lot, I'll tell you, really. I mean, he taught us a lot about how to play the game.
Well, Rico Petrocelli, thanks so much. Real pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Take care.
That's Rico Petrocelli. He played for the Red Sox for 13 years. He was the shortstop for the 1967 Red Sox when they won the pennant. And he was recalling their manager, Dick Williams.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe.
The amount of nostalgic excitement in the studio right now is pretty hard to describe, listeners, but I'll leave it to your imagination because up next, the news of the week in review. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.